Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, I was joined by 13 million of my best friends in watching the United States take on Netherlands in the knockout round of the World Cup. It didn't go well, but boy, it could have been different early. Christian Pulisic not gifted a chance, a beautiful ball headed in by Tyler Adams, gave him a great opportunity, but the Dutch keeper, who's about 47 feet tall, and he's like a building.
Only?
It's like 6'8".
Wow.
Ridiculous. And he made a great save, and 7 minutes later, it was 1-0 Netherlands. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News joining us now on the Adam Gold Show at TSN. Mike on Twitter. All right, sir. Where did it go wrong? 3-1 Netherlands.
Well, I think it started to go wrong right where you said. I mean, if you technically could say it went wrong with the idea of putting Jesus Ferreira in the starting lineup, and the reason for that.
Right.
I mean, there's a logic behind me saying that, because what that decision demanded absolute perfection. And I don't mean just from Jesus. I mean from the whole circumstance. I mean, you couldn't have bad luck or a bad play. Like, as soon as you go down 1-0, he's useless. I mean, in a regular game against Canada, maybe not. But against Netherlands, he's not scoring, and he's not, and you're not, you know, going to be as effective in the press when you're down 1-0, because that, you know, if they get in trouble, they're just going to play it long. They don't care. They got to lead.
Right.
So it just changes the chemistry of everything when you go down. So it was a mistake to start him against a team of that quality, against a defender like Virgil van Dijk. It didn't make sense. And I understand they didn't have Josh Sargent. So your next best, and that Haji Wright had not played well, especially in the prior game, the Iran game. So right. your best solution at that point was, okay, we don't have the setup we want, so let's just get our best guys on the field. And either put Gio Reyna in the middle as the false nine, or put Tim Weah and then move Reyna to the right. And those were the two choices, and he chose the bad one. He chose to go with Jesus. And then, you know, they just made some bad decisions, and I think they were tired, Adam.
I agree.
I mean, Tyler Adams didn't even run on that play, and that's just, like, totally antithetical to who he is as an athlete and as a competitor.
Yeah, he was caught pressing up, and then when Memphis Depay took off, he could not catch up, and he probably didn't have it in him to catch up. And maybe Yunus Musa was supposed to pick the man up, but that didn't happen either. We've all heard coaches say this. The first thing that goes when you are tired is your thinking. And maybe they were just at that point, they had to be gassed. And really, we can fold this back to the previous three games. And the World Cup is such a condensed format that Adams, Musa didn't, and McKennie didn't, but Adams played every second of the first three games, and they had no other options in the midfield. Luca De La Torre, who is probably a good midfielder but not a replacement for Tyler Adams, he never played. Now, I know he was injured before the World Cup, but he was on the roster. He never featured. We only saw Kellen Acosta at the end of games to help see it out or get, I don't know, provide something. But there were no midfield options for them. There's also no option for Anthony Robinson, who saved his, I hate to say it, worst for last, because he wasn't good against the Netherlands either. And I love Anthony Robinson. Jedi's excellent, but, I mean, he wasn't great either the last couple of matches.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, I mean, they could have played Brendan Aaronson in Weston McKennie's position if they thought that would be an upgrade an upgrade with a tired Weston or something like that. But that was their only option, really. And yeah, they were so built on that midfield, the MMA midfield, that Gareth Southgate even talked about how really difficult it was to play through those guys. And so he tried to continue to ride that. And, you know, let's not forget that, you know, that midfield is built to be a wall defensively. There's no great creator among the three of them. They have great energy. Mm-hmm. Weston can get into the box and score on occasion. It didn't happen in this World Cup, but he has. Musa is totally a ball possessor. He's at this point, he's not a great creator. He's, you know, he's not a great defender. But you get him the ball and you're not getting it away from him. And that's what he does. So that's why they were so good in games 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
And one, when they fell down, again, that was part of it. But two, I mean, if you looked at it, I mean, who got a ball through the midfield at all against them in the first three games? It never happened.
Right.
Iran couldn't, Wales couldn't, even England with Bellingham out there couldn't do it. But they, you know, 10th minute, boom, it goes right through the middle. I mean, it was totally, again, it was totally antithetical to who they were as a team. And so it's just, it's one of those things. I mean, this is where the program is and people want it to be better. They want it to be magic. But this is where it is. And this is part of having what I wanted to write about this, but never got the opportunity. The lost generation between Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore, Clint Dempsey, that group, and this group, the ones we have now, Pulisic, McKennie, Adams, et cetera, there was nothing. I mean, there was nothing.
Right.
There were no players that were helpful in a World Cup scenario. There were some solid MLS guys who could, you know, who were good, solid players, like maybe a Sebastian Legette or somebody like that. Right. But there were no World Cup level players. And that's why we didn't qualify in 2018. And that's why I tried to tell people this team wasn't ready to be great. I don't care how many guys, you know, I do care how many. If you got 20 playing at the Chelsea Inter level or whatever, okay, but we have like 7 or 10.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I 100% agree. And it gets me to, I have two more questions about this going forward. As a fan of teams that have not been good, they're better. I'm like, as a Mets fan, when you're going through a time where, all right, we stink. So here's what I'm going to do. This is how I will make this interesting. Let's see who I can identify that will be part of the future success. And I don't think the United States stinks. I think they're one of the top 16 countries in the world playing soccer. I believe this is where they belonged. I'm glad they got through because anything short of that was a failure. So I consider this World Cup a success. They played the number 9 team in the world in the FIFA rankings and one that had maybe the easiest group to negotiate. Right. Senegal without Sadio Mane was not going to be that much of a threat. Qatar is terrible. So it was, they had the easier group. They were fresher when they got there. How many of this group, the core players of this group, can you say 4 years from now, they're going to be in our top 11?
Well, I think it's really a better question. How many won't? I mean, because we just take out the central defense. Walker Zimmerman's 29 years old, I think. I mean, at 33, one would hope he would have younger, fresher players. Tim Ream, of course, is too old.
My favorite player at this World Cup, Tim Ream.
He was terrific. He did a great job.
Yeah.
He really did. He had a shaky game 4 as well. Turnovers that he had never imagined in the first three games, but did a great job. But he won't be there.
No.
But everybody else, I mean, who else? You're not going to throw any of those guys aside. They're all like 22 years old.
The whole team.
They're all right in the prime of their – or on their way to the prime of their careers. In 2026, this is why it's promising for 26, beyond just it's being here, which is a help. But you have this whole core group that will now have been in a World Cup. And then you have the next generation, and hopefully – in that group, there are some significant players, especially in central defense, or the ones who missed this one, particularly Chris Richards, maybe Miles Robinson.
Yeah.
He'll be around 29 by then, so I'm not sure, but definitely Chris Richards could be. Those are the guys that I think will make the difference. For me, what turns this team from a round of 16 team into a team that's a serious threat to get to the semifinals or something like that and see how it goes is this next group. The guys that are 18, 20, 21 now that played, that qualified the U.S. for the Olympics and the U-20 mm-hmm. World Cup next year, the Olympics in 24, how good are they? How good can they be? How much can they help? If they're special, then it can be a great team in 26.
And maybe finding somebody who will play Gio Reyna. Look, he's playing. I realize maybe he wasn't 100% fit. I don't know the issue. But if he put him on to start the second half, then he probably should have put him on to start the game.
Yes.
But, you know, even but when he came on, I just thought he was okay. I didn't think anybody was great in the game, and that might have been just situation. So I'm not basically looking at Gio and say, well, maybe he's not that good. I think he's a wonderful player, and he's playing Champions League matches for Dortmund. So if you can play in that tournament, which is, I think, probably a better brand of a higher caliber of soccer, maybe not quite the pressure that a World Cup is, depending on the country, then you probably should be on the field for this. Is Greg Berhalter the right guy to take them to the next level, or did he do his job and they should find somebody else?
Well, one, he did his job for sure.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about this. Multi-cycle World Cup coaches often don't work out well, but is that just, you know, is that just one of those things people say because, you know, because you have the obvious examples when it hasn't worked? I mean, England and France will play Saturday in a quarterfinal. That's a Titanic showdown. And both of them in a quarterfinal game are on multi-cycle coaches. They chose to stay with the coach. And Gareth Southgate, at this point, this is his record under of the last three tournaments. Semifinals at the World Cup, final at Euro 2020. And now he's in the quarters here. So, I mean, I don't know that you necessarily have to change. I know that the negativity around Greg is really toxic. And
yeah.
I'm not, you know, I'd really like to see that shut down. And what bothered me was that there's so much of it. That's all I felt through media, the social media in particular, after they qualified for the round of 16. And it, like, he did exactly everything you could have wanted him to do, and they're still critical. So that's a problem. But honestly, I thought about this, and this morning I came up with this. I would ask two people, and I know this sounds weird, but I would ask two people. I would ask Christian Pulisic and Tyler Adams, team captain, team star.
Right.
Is he the right guy? You guys have both played for other coaches around the world. You know, are we tactically sound enough, fit enough? Because he's got, you know, and that's the question, because he's created a great atmosphere. And what people who think they know sports don't understand at all is how building a culture is the single most important thing a coach does. Not throwing the challenge flag or calling timeout. The number one thing is, how do you build a culture? Do the players want to be there? Do they want to play for each other? Do they want to play for you? And do they want to play for your organization, which in this case is the United States? That's the number one thing that any coach does. And it's completely misunderstood by the public. The public thinks it's all tactics and strategy. Mm-hmm. That stuff is essential. But there aren't that big of differences between the various coaches. You know, the very best of the best, a Pep Guardiola or somebody like that, or Klopp or somebody, okay, yeah. But you get down to where Greg is, and it's, you know, there's a lot of similarity. And so it comes down to, do the players want to play for you? And I think that's a no doubter at this point. But do those guys in particular think that we need a change of direction to move forward? And if they said yes, then I'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be there in 4 years as long as they're healthy.
No question.
So I would want to know what they think.
Before we let you go, I was actually listening to Grant Wall's podcast today, which I don't know if you're a listener, but I do religiously. And Grant said on the postmortem that in 2015, Pep Guardiola basically had conversations and was interested in the job of coaching the men's national team for the United States. He took a year off. He was living in New York, and he thought maybe that's it. I don't think they're getting Pep now. But that's that's another story altogether. Mike DeCourcy at TSN Mike on Twitter from the Sporting News. I appreciate your time, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Adam.
You got it. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Look, I loved it. I was in.
Yeah.
And when Pulisic didn't score.
Ring in the holiday with gifts, decor, and more at Lowe's. Save on top DeWalt gifts this holiday, like the 20-volt max brushless two-tool drill kit. Was $229, now $149. And choose a DeWalt 20-volt max brushless drill or impact driver kit. Both are $99 for a limited time. Browse online, then come join the holiday excitement in store. Start your holiday shopping now at Lowe's. Valid through 2/1/23.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $600 off Peloton Bike, Bike Plus, or Tread packages. Choose the package that's right for you with accessories like our cycling shoes, a heart rate band, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited time offer ends December 6th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 6th, 2022. Excludes Bike, Bike Plus, and Tread basics. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
And good save. Could he have done more with it? Yes. I don't think he realized he had probably another half second to kind of look and see what he could do. He could have just chipped and beaten or just elevated it a little bit more, and it's a goal, and it's 1-0 U.S., and that's a different game at that point. Yeah. And then 7 minutes later, it's behind Matt Turner, and there's a Depay at the top of the 18, a pass back across. The goal right before the end of the half was a gut punch. Mm. And then after they lucked into a goal, you get the momentum and maybe you can force the issue a little bit. Like, what was 4 minutes later, 3 minutes later? Boop, 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 goal.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's that. Yeah. The Netherlands was clinical. Mm. Absolutely clinical. That's where we are lacking. Our ability to create possession, create chances from the possession, and then finishing those chances. That's where we lack.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $600 off Peloton Bike, Bike Plus, or Tread packages. Choose the package that's right for you with accessories like our cycling shoes, a heart rate band, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited time offer ends December 6th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 6th, 2022. Excludes Bike, Bike Plus, and Tread basics. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.